How big of a hire is this for Marcus? You have everything trending up in that offensive room. Isn't this something he's got to kind of nail,
so
even
this
in
is,
awkward
this is
timing?
A good question. This is a good question. And I don't want to make people nervous, but let's look at Tommy's, not Tommy, but let's look at Marcus's hires. And I'm going to exclude offensive coaches, because every offensive coach that was hired, we knew Tommy played a hand in it, because Marcus said Tommy was in the room and participated in every hiring. The guys that Marcus hired, Al Golden and Al Washington, how would you rank them?
Not as good as you would have hoped year one, for sure.
Not as good as you would say a Harry Hiestand. You know. And you know I'm not a Harry Hiestand guy, but he impressed me this year. Not as good as Chancey Stuckey.
Right.
Okay. The tight end coach, Jared Parker, he did well. The only one that he hired that I'm impressed with is that Brian Mason.
I was going to say, don't forget my special teams guy.
He's the only one.
It's an all-star.
And I'm not saying, and again, Marcus Freeman deserves credit on all those offensive hires. But you know Tommy was in the room. On those defensive hires, Tommy played no part. And I'm not trying to make this Tommy versus Marcus. I am not impressed with the guys that Marcus went out and he did a Brian Kelly thing with Al Washington. He went out and he hired a guy he knew. Actually, without Brian Mason was a guy he knew. Brian Kelly only hired guys he knew in the beginning. It wasn't until he goes to it wasn't until the 2015 season when.
But now, is some of that human nature, Pat? You get this
dream.
Sure. You get this dream job. You want to have a little comfort of a guy you trust and you know
absolutely
how he thinks and operates.
If I win the Mega Millions and I will buy a golf course and hire you to be my superintendent.
Right. Like, I mean, I get it. Yeah. And then I think the more confident you become and the more you see and learn, then you don't need as much of that support to maybe branch out.
Right.
The other thing is the timing, Pat. The timing has been very challenging on these hires, because Marcus got the head job at a weird hiring period to try and flip all your stuff. And then Tommy leaving now is at a weird time to try and flip your staff. I just feel like
I think the Tommy thing, it lines up perfectly. I don't know if we want to go into the hires and who it is. I think there's one guy that they should seriously look at, and it's the offensive coordinator of Utah. That's the most Tommy-esque guy. But I think he's got a better track record of what Tommy has.
But do they – that's another question. Are they going to lean into similarities there, or are they going to try and branch out to somebody that's a little more –
your offense,
a little bit – yeah.
Well, your offense, your offense is built for it.
Yeah.
Your offense is built for it. So
I have a big priority, whoever it is, to get more modern and more aggressive and all that kind of stuff. But you can't totally sacrifice Notre Dame's desire to have a physical DNA at their core. And I say desire because they don't always exhibit it. So I'm not saying that's
no,
who they
are. I agree.
You got, if you were that physical and it was your DNA, USC wouldn't have dominated you on both sides.
No, exactly. That's such a great
desire to be physical.
There's a physicality to the weaker team. But as soon as you get somebody that comes and punches you in the face like Marshall did, it's not just USC. Marshall punched you in the face. Stanford punched you in the face, and you folded.
I've seen
you folded.
Who is it? Clint Trickett or whatever, the Marshall offensive coordinator or whatever. He's on the list of like potential guys to interview, and all the Notre Dame fans are like, oh, why would you do that? It was good enough to beat us last year or whatever they did.
Exactly.
Who are we to judge? And the other one, Pat, is Shaw. People are saying bring that smirk over and let him.
No, the one I'm seeing that is making me nervous is Byron Leftwich.
That's generating a lot of heat on the plus and the minus.
Yeah, here's my thing with Byron Leftwich is, what can you trust with this guy? Bruce Arians, an innovative offensive mind.
Yeah.
Right. And then truly his one real season of winning, he's got the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game.
Yeah, I'm unclear on what went wrong at the end. Was it just, I don't know. And I mean,
I don't know. I don't know either. I don't know where to fall. It makes me, if that one makes me nervous. That one makes me look like he's a, because here's the thing. It's not just, he's lobbying Freeman.
Is that a high risk, high reward then? Like, guy?
I don't know what it is. He hasn't been in a college game in God knows how long.
Right.
I don't know his full background, but I think he's just been in the pros since he left.
And then I also heard, Pat, that he reached out to Notre Dame about this.
Yes, he is going to Marcus.
I find that very interesting too, that he reached out to us.
Which is what makes me even more nervous, because that tells me he can't find a job in the NFL. If you were just the offensive coordinator of a team that won a Super Bowl and a 2 years later, you get fired because of a not, I don't, and I don't think it's his, I don't think it's right that he got fired. Todd Bowles is just a terrible head coach. But if you get fired after winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago and you can't get another job in the NFL, you can't even get a quarterback coach job in the NFL after you played the game and you coach under Bruce Arians and you coach Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It just, there's so many red flags there. And I'll tell you, it was the, and to be fair to the guy, it was the same amount of red flags.
Wouldn't it be red flags though? Like we're in a position.
No, I think the guy at Utah, is a go, but I'll give you an example. I had red flags when Brian Kelly promoted Tommy Rees. I was like, I thought that was Brian Kelly just maintaining his control over the offense. He has a puppet. That's all Tommy Rees was a puppet. And we found out after the fact that Brian Kelly continued to call the plays, even though he was saying Tommy was calling the plays all the way up until halfway through his last season at Notre Dame, when he actually turned the offense over to Tommy because he quit and went to look for a new job. So that was a red flag. I didn't like that, but it also turned out the reason Kelly gave Tommy Rees that job was because Nick Saban was trying to get him to Alabama then to be his quarterback coach.
So, but it's like, I always hear Pat, oh, well, if it's good enough for Saban, who are you as a Notre Dame guy to question if Saban wants him? I kind of get that, but I kind of don't. Saban can want him all he wants, but I'm looking at us putting up 3 points when we're in a huge game. Like, Saban can want him all he wants, but what I've seen here hasn't been good enough.
Agreed.
They both can exist in the same world.
Oh, here's, no, I agree. I agree
here's
to
what's
that
gonna happen,
entire,
Pat.
I agree
here's
to
what's
going
to happen. All the people that were 100% Tommy's dead to me, I want him gone no matter what. All the people that said that all year, you know damn well, whoever they're hire, these people are going to say it isn't good enough either. So, like, you're never, there's a certain
I don't know.
You're never going to win with.
Yeah.
You're going to hire that's,
I'm not going to say,
oh, this is an upgrade, clearly.
Yeah. I'm not going to say the guy that replaces Tommy, all the people that hated Tommy are just automatically
like
going to hate this guy. But there's going to be a pocket of people.
Nobody knows the guy from Utah's name. Nobody knows that guy's name.
Hell, I was just reading an article with his name in it and I can't remember it.
Right. But like I'm saying, and then people even brought up, Pat, what if it's Gerard Parker, the tight end coach who used to be the West Virginia offensive coordinator? You could do that. It isn't going to be splashy nationally because it's an internal guy.
I don't see that because I do think that the offense is a weakness for Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a defensive guy his whole life.
That's what I was going to say. Does it concern you at all that he's primarily
a defensive
guy and now he's in charge of having to put together an offensive brain trust at all or no?
Well, that's why he needs someone strong. That's why he needs someone established. That's why he needs someone who has a better resume than what Tommy Rees had. Tommy Rees was easy. He knew Tommy. Tommy and the offense was established. So Tommy Rees was easy for Marcus to adjust. And I'm sure I have no doubt those guys probably had a great relationship. And from everything I've heard, it's been the departure has been good. Everybody's on good terms. I heard a rumor that Marcus told Tommy, we'll come back at you. If you want more money from us, we'll bring it. If you don't, but he said, I think this is a good move for you to go work with Nick Saban.
And that's a mature.
Those are the rumors I heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
And you know what else, Pat? If Marcus really is as genuine as we all think he is, I think that's the appropriate response to that.
I absolutely agree.
I really do.
Anybody who's out there right now calling Tommy Rees a traitor and saying that what he did is stabbing Notre Dame in the back, that is not how this works.
And
I take it from the perspective of a Notre
Dame fan. But if he went to Northwestern or Illinois,
that's different.
Or Iowa,
that's different.
Totally
exactly.
Different. That matters.
Totally different.
To me.
It
totally matters
different.
To
he
me.
He did not go to exactly. That is totally different. And at the end of the day, the way I look at it is I am a Notre Dame fan. Tommy Rees, for whatever his faults were as a player, is a Notre Dame guy.
Yep.
And I want to see what is best for that Notre Dame guy. So if Tommy Rees going to Alabama is what's best and that allows him to succeed, I'm all for that.
Yeah. And that's a very mature perspective. So let's ask this. What should maybe this will kind of be a good kind of bow on some of this. What should his legacy be among Notre Dame fans? It's like I respect his love for Notre Dame and loyalty for so long as a recruit, a player, and a coach.
I attended
at the same time,
years.
I don't we won the Camping World Bowl, and that was the biggest trophy I ever saw.
Like, I know your trophy argument. Let's get into your trophy argument. He has
is
no
that
trophies.
Not the point? You're Mr. Traditional Notre
There's
Dame.
Only one. There's only one trophy you care about.
You could win a New Year's Six game, and I'd appreciate that. You could win a big bowl game.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be, but the Camping World Bowl. Nobody's going to sell me that the Camping World Bowl is good enough in Notre Dame.
I totally agree.
So then you agree with my trophy take.
I don't.
I just want something I care about, and that you care about, Pat. But I don't think 10-2 and losing the two biggest games of the year. No,
yeah,
you don't.
Absolutely, I care about that. I do care about that.
But you care about it because you're mad that we don't beat the good teams we play.
Absolutely. No, I'm mad that we've lost to the bad teams that we played this year. We actually beat one of the good ones.
But is my trophy thing, are you saying that that's an overgeneralization, simplification of the big picture?
Yeah.
When
maybe you didn't say the New Year's Six part of it when you talked about your trophies, that he has no trophies that you care about.
Yeah, like, I mean.
They're truly, John, there's only one trophy you care about.
Yeah, I understand that. But like the big bowl game thing, like win a big bowl game. Like, I just can't.
All right. Marcus? He's had two tries at bowl games.
But he hasn't had 6 years doing it.
Well, no, fair. Fair.
I can't put all the Fiesta Bowl claps on Marcus when he was on the job 3 weeks and had to piece it all together. I'm not placing all that on Marcus.
That's tough. I wouldn't either, but I'm not going to place it all on Tommy Rees.
I'm not placing it all on that. But when people tell me I'm not adequately upset enough that the guy's leaving, that I hear that. You're not upset enough that the guy's leaving or what
no,
this could
that's,
do.
That's just, then that's I just a say, bad argument.
Then I say, nothing I've seen has been good enough. So what exactly, if he came back,
that's
I was
where we
to
disagree.
Do it. And if he's not, I'm going to lean on the fact that he hasn't won anything I care about to make me feel better that he's leaving.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I think that's where you and I disagree. I have seen things that are good. I have seen things that are good that tell me that the potential is there and it's good.
Yeah. So if I have seen things that are good, but nothing in totality after 6 years of him running the offense.
Well, he hasn't been running the offense for 6 years, and you're being disingenuous when you say that, and you know it. You know it because Brian Kelly's been running
it. 6 years as quarterback coach and 3 as offense coordinator.
Brian Kelly's been running that team for 5 of those years. This is his first year.
Should have left sooner. Kelly handcuffed you down that bad. You should have left sooner, buddy.
That's what happened. He got handcuffed, and when he tried to leave, when he tried to go to Alabama, Kelly made him an offensive coordinator.
But when someone pins me on that, I should be upset about this. The most logical evidence I have to go against that is if what we already had was elite, competitive in playoff games, I would be going, oh man, this is going to be really hard to replace. But I can't put that emotion into potential in this situation. I can't be that emotional about the potential.
No, I agree.
I can't.
No, I totally agree. First of all, there shouldn't be any emotion in it to begin with.
Have you ever seen the way I run this show? It's emotion driven, Pat. That's why I'm the fan show and not the stats show.
What people realize is this show is just a continuation of what you and I were like together in college. And
that's
just,
why nobody's gonna watch
we
it.
Live, we live 40 miles away from each other now, so we don't get to do this anymore. So you had to start a YouTube channel because you had no one to yell at.
It is the, you know what, Pat? This is the most affordable therapist I've ever had. You fire up the internet, and then once the lights go on, you're free to just let it rip. It's healthy, Pat. It's very healthy. It's a good escape.
I totally understand, especially for you.
You know the way that my weird brain moves. Is there anything else? That's the problem. Why do you think we're friends? It's a problem you have too.
The emotion part of it. So yeah. No, there's no reason to be upset about Tommy leaving. Like, this is not a, oh my God, Tommy Rees left. What are we going to do? No, but you should take that with every coach. Mike Elston left last year. I really liked Mike Elston. And I feel like now that really hurt Notre Dame. But what are you going to do about it? You got to go out and you got to get a guy. This was the conversation we used to have when we said we got after 2015 and we said, we got to get rid of Brian Kelly. He is not the guy. He is not going to win. We've had enough of him. He's got to go. And what do people always say to us? Who are you going to fill him? Who are you going to get to replace him?
Yep.
And I was, that's not my job. Yeah. All I can say is I know that this guy is not going to succeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know what else has been proven, Pat? This is proven. I've been using this as evidence on my program, and I believe it's a fact. How many times did Brian Kelly publicly speak about shopping down a different aisle, all those kind of issues? Okay.
Correct.
Now, follow me here. Kelly literally would get up in front of the media and talk about shopping down the different aisle, building in those public excuses of how hard it is for Notre Dame to get good classes. Yes, we lost Keeley. Yes, we lost Dante Moore. Mm-hmm. Yes, we lost Bowen.
But however, we shopped down that aisle.
They were all in the fold, which tells me the grades weren't an issue. The message wasn't an issue. That alone, the potential to have them in the class shows me bona fide top five classes are realistic at Notre Dame with the proper work.
I think it was one of your IrishWire guys. Somebody did an analysis of the GPA address of this recruiting class that he signed. A recruiting class that everybody can acknowledge is high end Brian Kelly. Okay. Yeah. All these guys are scholars. They get good grades.
And they're good athletes too. Imagine that aisle, put in the work.
That aisle that Brian Kelly would never go down had dudes that can get into Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And it was just laziness. It's just laziness.
It takes a lot of work.
Yep. It takes a lot of work.
And you know what else, Pat? You and I are both Chicago Catholic League guys. I really love Marcus and them trying to get back into Chicago and create that.
And that's where you actually did take a hit, because that was Tommy's territory.
If what?
The Chicago Catholic League. That was Tommy Reese's territory for recruiting.
Not anymore. Well, actually, it still is. It's just don't take this.
Yeah, now it's they're all going to Alabama. Now they're getting down 65.
St. Louis. He's also trying to get down to that metro mm-hmm. St. Louis area. And I think Brian Kelly probably thought none of those kids could probably get into Notre Dame. And now he's going down there and open it up.
No, Brian Kelly, those are just excuses. It never had anything to do with that. It was just that to get those guys, you had to see those guys and you had to visit with those guys.
You had to spend time with them.
That's a lot of work. And you can't play 36 holes in Europe in one day when you're doing that stuff. All right. Yeah. And that's what Brian Kelly's problem was. That guy is a schmuck.
Listen, can I tell you this? I have an honest to God theory. I think especially after 2020, you know, undefeated and then the playoff thing and all that. Yeah. I'm sure you've heard of the term since COVID, like quiet quitting. I think a part of Brian Kelly quiet quit
where
he realized internally the way I'm doing it here, this is about the level and this is how far we could get even undefeated seasons, but you're not going to do more than that. And then he thought, what would I have to do to change it here? I'm not quite willing to go down that path. And at that point, I think he was getting by just to get by while keeping his eye out for the best possible
landing spot.
No one's mm-hmm. going to convince me that Absolutely. Didn't happen, because all of the on-field and recruiting evidence of that period of time suggests that. And you know what, Pat? Maybe everybody wins. Brian Kelly seems very happy. Tommy's going to be very happy. And I like Marcus. So maybe now we're in a position where everybody has.
Yeah, no, I agree. And all that's true. All that is very true.